You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Direction for Life broadcast. I'm Youth Pastor Chandler Bailey, and I'm here to introduce a message by my dad, Dr. Herbert Bailey, on sufficient grace. We had an amazing conference, an amazing turnout. People were blessed, and our theme for the conference was sufficient grace. God wants you to know that everything you need in this life is not just in your life, but in Him involved in your life. Listen as Dr. Herbert Bailey hammers away in the Word of God on sufficient grace. Be blessed.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I want to preach and teach on our theme, which is sufficient grace. God gave me this theme some months back, sufficient grace. I've been meditating on it. I've been studying on it. And they're going to put something up eventually that says sufficient grace. I want you to focus on that and meditate on sufficient grace. Everybody say sufficient grace. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 and see exactly where that comes from. 2 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 10. And it reads, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul said, if it wasn't for this one thing, man, I would think I had it going on. I was all that. You couldn't tell me nothing. I would let everybody know how I got victory in every area of my life. There's nothing that frustrates me, nothing that stops me, nothing that hinders me. And before I could tell anybody that, I had this thorn in the flesh. It kept me from getting the big head. It kept me from thinking I was sufficient in and of myself. It kept me humble enough to never boast in my own ability or get to the place that I think I don't need God. That's called lest I should be exalted above measure. I told my wife, just last week, I looked in the mirror. I said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, I got a little bit of a belly." I said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure. Because except for that, I got it going on. Lest I should be exalted above measure." Everybody got something, or some of us multiple of things, that keep you from being exalted above measure, that make you realize, I need God. Okay, I got it going on in this area. I can almost do this with my eyes closed, but this other area over here, this thing keeps me 100% focused on God and never will cause me to think I can make it without Him. That's what he means. Lest I should be exalted above measure and get the big head and think that I'm self-sufficient. I had this issue of this thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. He said what the thorn was. It was the messenger of Satan to buffet me, knock me around, aggravate me, get on my nerves, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, for this thorn, for this messenger of Satan, for this thing that kept irritating me, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect," watch this, "in your weakness." Adding that one word for clarification. God said, "My strength will fully be displayed, manifested, and come to its epitome of maturity when you are weak." That's good right there. See, a lot of us, we're too strong for God to show himself strong. We got too much going on without God for God to let you see what he really got going on. So God caused him to realize, my strength, my ability, my power, my might, my majesty, my glory is going to fully be displayed in your times of weakness. And as a result of getting this revelation and understanding, Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, Will I rather glory in my infirmities? Infirmities, in other words, it means my physical weaknesses and inadequacies. I'll glory in the fact that I can't do it. I'll glory in the fact that I don't have it going on. I'll glory in the fact that I'm not that smart. I'll glory in the fact that I'm not sufficient in of myself. That the power of Christ may rest on me. If I got acknowledged, I can't do it, so God can put his power on me, then I can't do it. If I got to acknowledge, I don't have it going on, so God can really put it on me, then I don't have it going on. He said, I'd rather operate in God's ability than my ability. I'm just supposed to be reading here, but I'm exegeting as I'm going through it. He said, most gladly, well, I'd rather glory in my infirmity, that power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in inadequacies, in weaknesses, in reproaches, and folks getting on my nerves, and folks talking about me, in necessities. Look like the times when I'm struggling, all my needs might not be met, but I even take glory in that. In persecutions, people not like me, people talking about me. In this case, people trying to kill me. In distresses. Now, who glories in those things? Paul said, I do. I glory in all those things for Christ's sake, because this is now the revelation he ultimately comes to. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I get to that place that I'm 100% dependent on God, God's strength is manifested through me. This is so good, y'all. God tells him when he goes to him for deliverance from this messenger of Satan to buffet him, my grace is sufficient. Then he explains to him why my grace is sufficient. Grace, let's start off here. Grace, we've heard so often, is God's unmerited favor. To use a term that I've been using the last couple weeks in our church, is God's unmerited everything. Yeah. You know, as faith people got to be careful, because I heard something years ago and I said amen when the preacher said it, until I got to thinking about it and the Lord dealt with me about it. He said, us blessed people know why we blessed. I say amen. You're thinking, because I tithe, that's why I'm blessed. God live holy. That's why I'm blessed. Us blessed people, we know why we blessed. I said, amen. And the Lord said to me, do you really? Because there are eras of my life that I can look back. I said, no tithe produced that. That was just God being good to me. It was nothing that I did to initiate that, to trigger that. God just being good to me. Come on. The grace of God, you realize, God, I didn't do anything. It wasn't my tithe. Come on. It wasn't my giving. It wasn't my living holy. It wasn't because I crossed the T's. And God, you just been good. That's all I can say. And I'm watching. And the truth of the matter is, I know that there are other folk who are even been better than me in these areas and been serving you longer than me. And they got it going on more than me. And it looked like they don't even have what I have. I can't explain that. All I can say, God, it's just your grace. So I really don't know why I'm blessed, other than to say it's God's grace. See, that's why I said us, because faith folks sometimes think everything is based upon our faith and what you did, and you quoted the right scripture and you crossed and you came up with the right formula. But there's some stuff and those things, there's some manifestation we get just by working principles. If you do 1, 2, 3, if you save, you're gonna have some money. Amen. That you don't even need to be a rocket scientist. If you save, you're gonna have some money. Look, that was revelation for somebody. Tell them they didn't hear it. This is worth the whole conference. Tell them, if you save, you'll have some money. But there's some money I didn't save for. Some checks I wasn't expecting to show up. Oh, come on now. Some opportunities, I don't know how I got that. Come on, that was God's grace. So it's God's merited everything. That word grace, the Greek word is charis. We get the word charisma, charismatic, charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. It's mentioned 156 times in the scriptures. When you look up the Greek word, it means that which produces joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. It means goodwill, loving kindness, favor. It means that which keeps, that which strengthens, and that which increases. Come on, does that sound like grace? And it also refers to what is produced by or comes from God's favor. Man, where you get this call from? Man, that's the grace of God right there. That's the, that which comes from. Come on now. The grace of God. Paul received, I'll get to that either today or tomorrow. I got two sessions. Paul talks about this great offering that the Macedonian church gave. He calls that, man, this grace. That offering, that ain't no way that offering should have been that much. This is a great grace. God producing something, God increasing something that didn't come from our effort. Grace is God's benevolence. Grace is God's unmerited, unearned favor, strength, empowerment, and ability. That's why we say things like, he got the grace for that. I don't know how Pastor Marcia married to Pastor Herb. I don't know how I can handle him. She got grace for Herbert Bailey. Amen. I don't know if I can be on the pastor like that. He just say it. No chaser. Just say it. I don't know if I can sit on the pastor and just talk to you like that. But if God send you here, you get grace for it. And you'll be listening to preachers trying to be politically correct. You'll be like, why don't you just say it? Say it. You know, we have some indiscretions going around in the church, and God wants us to live holy, and we should not be living indiscriminately. Tell them, stop fornicating. Tell them. You get a grace for it. Okay. Now, we're most familiar with two types of grace, for the most part. We're most familiar with two types of grace. The first is saving grace. Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. By grace, by God's unmerited favor, by God's actions, by God's power, by God's might, by God's love, by God's strength, that's why you're saved. Not because you tithed enough to be saved. Not because you lived holy enough to be saved. Not because you came to church enough to be saved. Not just because you was born into a Christian household and go to a Christian church. It's God's grace. Because there was nothing about you that deserved salvation. You know it yourself, as much weed as you smoked. Don't get mad. Only the weed smokers just got mad right there. Much partings you did, and the people you was hanging out with, no, you deserve, God just saved you anyway. Glory to God. So that's saving grace. And then we're also familiar with justifying grace. Romans 3:23 and verse 24. Paul writes and says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by what? By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So grace now is saved us and it justified. Justified, easy way to remember. I learned this as a teenager. Easy way to remember the definition of justified or justification. Justified. That God treats me just as if I'd never sinned. I've been justified. He sees me just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that good right there? What's justified mean? He see me just as if I'd never sinned. He doesn't hold it against us anymore. He drops the charges. But when Jesus saved us, he dropped the labels. He dropped all the labels. She was a hormone. Who, me? That ain't my label. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. He was a drug dealer. Not me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. All the labels of sin are dropped. You are justified. God no longer sees you through the eyes of your past life and your past behavior. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, that I've been justified by grace. But there isn't just saving grace. It's not just justification grace that we're familiar with. There is grace for everything you need and everything you have to do. Say that's everything I need and everything I have to do. Come on, how many mothers I got here? There's grace to be a mother to that child. How many fathers I got here? There's grace to be a father to that child. How many supervisors and managers on your jobs? There's grace to manage and supervise those people and be that department. How many of y'all get stuck and have to deal with commuter traffic and on 20 and 26 and 77? And you think you're going to lose your salvation every day? There's grace. There's grace to deal with the traffic if you call to be here. I ain't called to be in Atlanta because I don't have grace for Atlanta traffic. I got grace for Columbia traffic, okay? Provided I get from downtown at least by 4 o'clock. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then the grace start lifting. Me and Pastor Marcia be out. She told me, I want to run downtown. It's 4 o'clock. I said, now? Oh, we should have did that earlier. We can't go downtown now. And me get this stuck in dysfunction junction. The devil is a lie. I don't have grace for that. But if you got to do it, there's grace for whatever you need and whatever you have to do. Now, grace as used in the text, my grace is sufficient for you, is what God tells Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. My grace. Grace as it's used there, it means the word sufficient is the word archaeo. It means, he said, my grace is sufficient. It means to be possessed of unfailing strength. God says, Paul, my grace is, you have unfailing strength. This is going to make even more sense here, because we've heard this scripture so many times over the years, and we just kind of almost minimalize it and don't really milk it and get out of it what God wanted us to understand. And I want to take some time over these next 2 days in my session and talk about this. That word means to be strong. It means to suffice. It means to be enough. God says, Paul says, God, I need you to take this thing away from me. God, the devil's bothering me. God, I can't take it. I can't do it. And God said, you got enough strength. I can't do it. God said, no. You already got enough in you right now. It also means, that word sufficient means to defend, to ward off, to be satisfied, and to be contented. So Paul cries out, God, I need your help. Stop the devil from messing with me. And God said, you got enough to defend it. Are y'all getting this? You have enough to ward off every attack of the devil. You have enough, and you have it to be satisfied with what you're going through. You have enough to contend. So listen to this. So God's grace is sufficient. God said, Paul, my grace is enough. It suffices. It defends. My grace wars off. My word is, my grace is satisfactory for everything you need and everything you need to do. Now, let me explain this a little more. So he's gone to God saying, I'm asking you 3 times. make the devil leave me alone. Now, Paul does not say very specifically what the thorn in the flesh is. Theologians differ depending on who you read. Some people say he had this awful eye condition, that his eyes would swell and he would have mucus and stuff coming from his eyes. And they take that because in another place he writes to the Corinthians, I believe, and he says, you love me so much that you would have given me your own eyes. And they put that together and say Paul had this eye condition that the people felt sorry for him about. And some people later on say he may even have gone blind. I don't know that. And you don't know either. What we do know is that it was the messenger of Satan. What we do know is that the devil was harassing Paul. And one time that he prayed about it, it wasn't immediately manifested that the devil left him alone. I was talking to Bishop Bailey the other night. He'd been talking since he'd been here. He'd been quiet for the last couple of years, but he'd been talking since then. I said, where this man been? I told him Tuesday night, I took him out of the room. I said, I got to go to bed. I got to go study. He said, yeah, and the next thing I know, I'm sitting there an hour and a half. I said, well, Lord, this ain't the old Bishop Bailey here. And he pulled out a list of 15 conditions that he went through over the last couple of years, how the devil was buffeting him. He said, but God took me through it all. Start naming one after the other. And this one, the doctor said this, and the heart this, and the nerves this, and then thyroid this. He said, but God took me through it all. And then he said, he was helping me preach. I didn't mean, that's why I was down there. He said, people don't realize the devil don't let up. He just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming. And God tells Paul, I don't care how many times he comes after you, you got what it takes. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me here. My grace is sufficient.
We hope you are blessed with the message of Sufficient Grace by Dr. Herbert Bailey. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you so much for our viewers. I thank you for our partners and those connected with us through television and through the digital mediums of the world, God. But we pray a specific blessing for them because they're tuned in. Lord God, I declare and we believe that we can connect with their faith, that because they're tuned in, the angels in the heavens and God's favor and grace is tuned into their life. We pray that as they go forward this year, I don't know what's on their hearts. I don't know what they're believing you for, but I believe and we believe that they have sufficient grace. We thank you for it, God, and we know that you're a great finisher, and we're looking to you to assist us along the way. Be blessed.
Do you sometimes feel inadequate or that you're not capable of fulfilling your goals? You have to know that you have what it takes in God. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their ministry guests will help you to settle the matter regarding God's sufficient grace in your life. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the 2017 Direction for Life Conference, Sufficient Grace.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.